My life's in you, my strength's in you, my hope's in you, in you.
This is a presentation of the Durham Church of Christ in Durham, North Carolina. We are located at 5224 Wake Forest Highway. If you are ever in the Durham area, we hope that you will come by and visit us.
Well, good evening, friends and brethren. It is great to be with you once again as we come together to worship our God in spirit and in truth. I'm so thankful to be a member of this congregation. And you know, I am a member of this congregation. I just so happened to preach. I'm not anybody special. I'm not to be lifted up on some type of pedestal. Don't do that because I will fall down. I am just a member like you all, but just so happen to mount the pulpit on a regular basis and preach God's Word. And I get a lot from it, not because I'm preaching it, but because we're going to God's Word, and in doing so, we then are filled with the life and instruction that we need for godliness. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. And this evening, we're going to do just as they did in the first century when they would come together on the first day of the week, and we're going to preach the Word of God, Acts 20 and verse 7. And I look forward to engaging in that with you all. Every military branch, every military operation needs it. It needs it for strategy, it needs it for action, it needs it for success. Every government needs it. It needs it for the people to understand what it is that they need to do. It needs it in order to have an understanding of laws and punishments and rewards. Every business needs it in order for it to succeed, in order for the business to make a profit and to do what it is it's striving to do without the community. Every football team needs it. Every school needs it. Yes, even the animal kingdom needs it. And that's leadership. Leadership is needed everywhere we look. A definition of leadership is really somewhat difficult because there are so many talented professionals who have attempted to define it in all kinds of different ways. But really, the easiest way to understand leadership is the ability to effectively influence others in order to provoke action. That's about the easiest way to understand leadership. Influencing others in a way that causes them to action. Leadership is needed in the Lord's church. And we are so very thankful that recently we have established an eldership. The congregation chose men and appointed men to become elders, shepherds of this flock. We've recently established deacons to serve in various capacities within this congregation. But you know, if we're going to think about other realms of society, we recognize that different realms are always looking in the future. Looking 10, 20, even 30 years down the line. Phone companies, for example, today are planning as to what they will do 30 years from now. Well, if the Lord's church is the greatest institution on earth, and indeed it is because it was bought by the blood of God, Acts 20 and verse 28, isn't it wise that the Lord's people thinks about and plans for various things that are going to be taking place 30 years from now? Certainly would be a good idea. And one of the best ways that we can do that is to focus on this topic regarding leadership. I know that this is something that the elders of this congregation is concerned about, focused about, wanting to develop men who may have an interest in leading either presently in a different capacity or leading in the future by stepping up and taking advantage of various opportunities to lead the congregation. There is a great amount that we can learn regarding leadership. And this evening, we're going to try to do the best we can to do an overview of leadership. We're going to begin by noticing the need for leadership. In Numbers chapter 27, we see that Moses comes to God. He speaks unto him, verse 15. And in verse 16, he says, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. Moses recognized, Moses of course not being allowed to enter into the promised land because of his failure to obey God by striking the rock rather than speaking to it as God had commanded him. And now Moses realizes that the people are about to go into the promised land, and Moses recognizes that they need leadership. They need someone that's going to go in and out from among them. One of their own, in other words. One that is going to be able to lead this people so that they be not like sheep that do not have a shepherd. When leadership is not there, then indeed anarchy can occur. Confusion can occur. Sheep without a shepherd can occur. And sin can run rampant. For example, we see in the book of Judges the need for leadership, as we see time and time again that the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Judges chapter 2 and verse 16. We see this being brought up time and time again. Verse 18 of that chapter, chapter 3 and verse 9, chapter 3 and verse 15. The Lord is raising someone up to lead the people out of the state that they were once in. The book of Judges is an interesting one. It's one that we can learn a great deal about regarding our own lives, because they're going in and out of faithfulness to God. Rather than being steadfast and being focused in on the Lord and on serving Him, they're going in and out of idolatry. They're going in and out of serving these other gods and forsaking the Lord's commandments. And time again, the Lord raises up for them a judge or a deliverer, one that is going to deliver them from the punishments that they're enduring because of their sin. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Because the children of Israel were sowing sin and sowing evil, indeed they were reaping the benefits of doing such. And they were constantly being punished because of their lifestyle. But God, through His grace and mercy, would deliver up for them a leader, a deliverer for them, a judge that would pull them out of their sinful ways, that would pull them out of their punishment and their oppression and free them once again. We see the need for leadership when we look at what Moses said and ultimately God pointing to Joshua. We see the need for leadership when we look at the book of Judges and we see the tumultuous and very difficult back and forth that the people of Israel went through in regards to their faithfulness to God. But we also see the need for leadership when we see what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9. In verse 36, we see that Jesus sees the multitude and He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Jesus recognized the people needed leadership. He had compassion on them, pity on them, because obviously they were lost. They were in a state where they had not been led in so long, they had not been effectively led, that laborers needed to step up who were willing to take charge. Not out of a desire to be king of all, not out of a desire to seek a predominant position amongst the people, but out of a desire because of their souls and because they wanted what was best for them. Jesus recognized the need for leadership. But as we think about the great need that there is for leadership amongst God's people, we immediately want to begin appropriate preparations for leadership. Leadership starts today. Yes, you might be 40 years away from even being eligible to become an elder within the church, for example. But it begins today, training for that position. And we can understand the preparation that's required for leadership when we look at various leaders throughout the Bible. Take, for example, Moses. We see in Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 22, that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, notice that. For 40 years, Moses was trained in all the ways of the Egyptians, was brought up so that he would understand various things regarding their culture, various things regarding secular education. He was brought up to be trained and understand certain practical aspects of life and of leadership. But then we see in verses 29 and 30 of Acts 7 that Moses became a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared unto him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. Moses was first trained by the Egyptians for 40 years in their educational systems, in the Pharaoh's palace, if you will. But then was trained as a shepherd out in the fields. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, we learn that's what he did. He kept flock there for 40 years. It's interesting when we think about leadership and we think about those who led God's people and we think about the role of a shepherd. We see that Moses indeed spent time being a shepherd. We notice also that King David, one of the greatest rulers to ever live, was a shepherd. We have studied before the account of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we see in verse 34, David saying unto Saul, who was then king, who was not courageous enough to go up against Goliath, David says to him, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." He's relying upon his leadership experience that he's already engaged in, yes, on a small level, yes, on a level that didn't even involve people. But he's relying on those experiences and the faith that he had in God regarding those experiences to know that the Lord will deliver him in this situation. God was preparing David for leadership. All the while, when he was being a shepherd. Now, that's not something we generally think of regarding leaders. We don't think that leaders ought to be one that is very knowledgeable regarding the keeping of flocks. But God thought that that was a very appropriate prerequisite to becoming a leader. We notice, though, that David not only had experience regarding keeping the flock, but that his heart was right. In Acts 13 and verse 22, we learn that David, the son of Jesse, was a man after God's own heart, which God says, "He shall fulfill all my will." David had a heart, a longing to have God's heart, to have God's approval, to have God's love and God's favor. That's what David was focused on. And when we think about preparations for leadership, we can think about education. We can think about shepherding flocks or engaging in various activities or various forms of employment all day long. But if we don't have a heart and a mind that is set after seeking God's approval and favor, then none of that will matter. David had the right kind of heart. And when we think about God's leaders, we see that God was very focused upon their hearts. God knew that in becoming a leader, there are great temptations. And so there are certain things that God had commanded leaders to engage in as they led God's people. We see, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 17, In verse 18 beginning, God is giving commandments regarding guidelines for the kings of Israel. And he says, "It shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests of the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." God, in caring for his leaders and caring for his people, commands that the kings of Israel, when they came about, were to sit down and make a copy of the law, reading the law all the days of their lives. Why? So that their heart would remain humble, so that they would continue to fear God. Folks, if we want to fear God and we want to have the right heart, we don't need to wait for a natural disaster to come upon us, a tsunami or anything like that. We need to just look to God's law and we'll begin to fear Him if we approach it with the right attitude. God, in concerning and being concerned about His people and the leadership of His people, wanted the leaders to have the appropriate heart, the appropriate mind, the appropriate attitude in leading. And we also see in the New Testament that there was a focus on the reading of God's law. When Paul is giving instructions to young Timothy as to what it is he should be doing in his preparations for leadership, preaching God's Word is certainly a form of leadership. One is being granted an opportunity to lead people in understanding the Scriptures. And when Paul is instructing Timothy how he is to do this, how he is to prepare himself to do this, he tells him in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he notes and is reminded and reminds Timothy of all the instruction that he had been given in regards to the Scripture since his childhood. Timothy was to prepare his heart. Timothy was, in his preparations for leadership, to focus on God's Word. And we understand the reason why. We understand that without God's Word, without knowledge, man will perish. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14, for example, we learn that where there is no vision, man is going to perish. Now that's referring to God sending prophets and so forth to bestow His law and His will upon the people. But the point is, when that doesn't happen, man is going to perish because man is not going to have an instruction booklet, a set of directions, a guideline as to what it is he is to do. We see when leaders are chosen, when leaders are picked out amongst God's people, there is a focus upon those who have a fear for God. In Exodus chapter 18, when Moses is being instructed of Jethro, we learn in verse 21 that Moses is supposed to pick out people to assist him in leadership. And those should be men who fear God, men of truth, who hate covetousness. These men have a fear and an acknowledgement of God's presence and God's eternal wrath. And that motivates them to stay within the boundaries of God and motivates them to know truth. And motivates them to avoid all covetousness. I don't know of another class of people that are more tempted regarding covetousness than leaders. Sure, you may be able to name some, but you all know the saying, power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. When man gains a certain position of leadership, Doesn't matter how much money he has, the temptations for covetousness are strong. Well, God's leaders were to avoid that. Not only just avoid it, they were to absolutely hate it. They were to love truth, and they were to fear Him. When we think about preparations for leadership, we would be amiss not to look at the home. What an opportunity to grow, no matter what role you may play within the home, in understanding more about leadership. It can't properly be described in a sermon, in a sentence, in a speech. All the things that are encountered in home life that prepare us for leadership. But there is no mistake, obviously, because it's the Bible, but it is absolutely intentional that God makes the requirements of leaders within the church to be those who have led a home that is consistent with God's Word, in line with God's Word regarding the roles of the home, regarding the purpose of the home, as we see it in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. The home is a great breeding ground for leadership and leadership preparation. We understand that there is a need for leadership. We understand that preparation is required for leadership. Yes, preparation in education. Yes, preparation in experience and in training. But ultimately, preparation on the heart, on loving God, being totally devoted and giving all one's allegiance to Him and Him alone. But then as we think about leadership, we must examine the execution of leadership. Preparation can occur all day long, but if it is not carried out, if it is not executed, then it's not going to be of much good, all that preparation that was done. And when we think about the church and the purpose of the church to train and instruct one another in the Word of God, ultimately it is a place of preparation for leaders, not only within the church, but likewise throughout all the world. We are lights unto the world, as Jesus tells us. And we understand that there are indeed some things that must be overcome if one is going to accept, embrace, and engage and execute leadership. It's not something that comes easy. It's not something that just anyone does effectively or even necessarily wants to do. But those fears are something that must be overcome if leadership is going to occur. As a matter of fact, a leader must be willing to fail. And that's the big one. Because oftentimes we have the mindset that if I'm going to lead a group of people, I must do it perfectly. And yes, there is a need to be very serious about such a position. James chapter 3 and verse 1, James tells us, "Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Yes, it needs to be taken very, very seriously. But if we're going to fail to engage in leadership out of a fear of failure, then we have failed. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 25 about a man who was unwilling to use what God had given him. The Lord asks, "I knew thee that thou art an hard man." He's explaining that there's someone who was unwilling to put to use what his master had given him. He says, "You reap where thou hast not sown, and you gather where thou hast not strawed." And he answers and says, "I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury." The Lord wants us to use our abilities. The biggest failure we can make is to not use them out of fear that we're going to fail in using them. But to use them and fail and then learn from that failure and try to use them again and fail and learn from that failure and continue to do that over and over again is exactly what the Lord wants. That's exactly what we are commanded to be doing. Striving, trying, doing all we can for God and His kingdom. Not only must the execution of leadership involve the willingness to fail in regards to possibly slipping up in the sight of God, but it also involves the willingness to fail in the sights of men. You know, preaching God's Word and being a Christian is a very interesting, paradoxical role. I can't think of any other role in life where one engages in something, works so hard, then receives for engaging in it punishment, persecution, hatred, and then continue to engage in it. But as the people of God, that type of failure, as viewed by the world, must be accepted. Because God doesn't tell us, go do my will and be successful by growing in numbers. Go do my will and be successful in having a beautiful building. Go do my will and be successful in having a million different programs. That's not what God says. God says that the whole of man is to fear Him and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. God says, just go. Don't worry about the result. We think about Isaiah chapter 6. In verse 8, we read, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And He said, go and tell the people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, O Lord, how long?" Isaiah wants to know, how long am I going to have to do this? How long am I going to have to go around preaching Your Word to the point that they don't hear me? They don't want anything to do with what it says. The Lord says, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the houses without man and the land be utterly desolate. In other words, don't quit. It's a lifelong duty. In the execution of leadership, one must be willing to fail. But one must also be willing, not just willing, but be prepared. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. He's going to have to stand alone. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, we learn of one who stood alone. That one being Noah. He was warned of God, things not yet as seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark of the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. When we think about what Peter says in regards to Noah, we understand that only 8 souls were saved in all the world. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Noah had to be willing to stand alone. He had to be willing to break free from other relationships, other bonds, maybe distant relatives or family members, but just to do God's will and stand alone doing it. We think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. All those around them were willing to bow down to that golden image, but they were not, because they were going to be faithful to the Lord no matter what. Whether the Lord delivered them or not, they were not going to bow down. They were willing to stand alone. When we think about the execution of leadership, we understand that leaders, at some point or another, will have to stand alone. But leadership also requires optimism. We've discussed it before, but let's just recall it once again. When the Lord gave that great commission to those 11 men, Judas had been disposed of his own will. And these 11 men, hearing the commission of the Lord, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, would it have been a requirement that those 11 men perceived that commandment with optimism or pessimism? If they were going to succeed, if they were going to do God's will, if they were going to have a proper attitude about it, they would have had to receive that with ultimate optimism. With the belief that indeed we can do this because the Lord has commanded it of us. A leader must always be optimistic. Not unrealistic, but optimistic. Understanding what surrounds us physically, understanding what we're engaged in this life, but also understanding that if doing the Lord's will requires a great amount of difficulty, it will be worth it all. And we ought to be optimistic about it all. Because that difficult gate and that narrow way leads unto life. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. The execution of leadership demands optimism. Lastly, the execution of leadership demands delegation. When we think about what Jethro had commanded Moses in Exodus chapter 18, verses 17 through 26, we learn that Moses indeed did what Jethro had commanded him. Jethro acknowledging that this is only to be done if it is by the commandment of the Lord. And indeed it was, and Moses did it. Moses was the only one judging the people, and he was burdened, and the people were burdened. But he had to realize the need to delegate. To delegate his role. To delegate what it was that he was doing and that he was involved in so that the work could be done effectively. Leadership is not total control. Leadership is not doing it all. Leadership is influencing others to take the action to do what is needed. Delegation is a requirement in the execution of leadership. We are so very blessed that in this life we have the leadership that we all need, which is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. John chapter 14 and verse 6. He has led the way for us all. And if one is ever going to engage in effective leadership, he must first begin by making his leader and his only leader, Jesus Christ. Not his spouse, not her spouse, not family members, not friends, not the public eye, but Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ your leader this evening? Have you been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? Do you need to come home and be restored to the Lord's church? If you have any spiritual need, please come forward as all together we stand and sing.